Hello, everybody. We're back again. So this is Kenneth Copeland, Greg Stevens, and the entire group. And the Holy Spirit is here representing Jesus. And those of you that are in the same position that Gloria and I were in, we were both scriptural illiterates. And I remember when I was at ORU and I had a book there that said, Roaming Through Romans. I thought, maybe I better read Romans before I roam through it. Well, I've roamed through it quite a number of times in the last 56 years. But I want to say this to you. I was astounded. It said, Christ died for the ungodly. I said, well, that certainly was me. Then I found a scripture that said, His mercy endures forever. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Yes, it does. Amen.
That's new every morning.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
Yes.
Well, these are just myths. And no, they're not. And Dale Black, he was still in training. And he worked for a company back in the day when you flew canceled checks from bank to bank. They didn't have wire transfer then like they do now. And he worked for a company that did this. And they flew an airplane called Piper Navajo, which was a large-bodied twin-engine airplane, just full of checks. So they didn't have a big load. But there was a man came out that was a friend of the boss, and he wanted him to fly. So Dale had been in the right seat. And his instructor, Steve, said, Dale, you let me in the right seat. I better be here. This was in Long Beach, California. Well, the man put the power up on the airplane. And it's what pilots call picking it green. It was not fast enough yet. It was fast enough to fly it, to get it off of the ground. But as long as he was in ground cushion effect, it was still flying. But then he pulled the yoke back like this, and he got it up to here, and it stalled.
It's all rolled.
And fell and hit in the top of a muscle limb. Well, it just, I mean, like the top of a mountain, that thing didn't move. And Dale was out here. And now this is personal. He said, I was out here and I thought, well, isn't this something? He said, those checks were just falling everywhere. And he said, I reached up and he said, I couldn't. He said, well, I must be dead. But he was a young man that knew the Lord. And he said, I must be dead. Isn't that something? He didn't care. He said, and then he wrote a book about this. He said, I was in the ambulance, and then he said I'd be falling along behind the ambulance. And he said, I was just staying up with it, and then the next thing you know, I'd be in the ambulance. And then I was outside the ambulance. He said, it didn't mean anything to me. I just enjoyed it. You remember the Apostle Paul said, in the body or out, the God knows? Anyway, and then he said, I went to heaven. And he said, I saw a family. Oh, he said, I saw people and enjoyed it. And then all of a sudden, he said, I was back in the hospital. And then the pain came. He said the pain was terrible. But then he said I'd go to heaven a little while, and he said the pain wasn't bad at all. And he said, I really didn't want to come back. That's what I wanted you to realize. that God has allowed these kind of things. He allowed this to happen to Kenneth Hagin. He allowed it to happen to Keith Moore and others. And I've had visions of it, but it's never happened to me personally. But here's the point. The Lord has allowed certain things to take place over the years, over the centuries. The Apostle Paul said, the Lord showed me that on the day, he said, I'm showing you at the church at Corinth, I'm showing you what the Lord showed me. So where we take communion from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 was what the Lord showed the apostle and how to do that and not take it unworthily. Mm-hmm. Isn't this wonderful? Yes. Praise God. But notice that what it said, the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So, yes.
Yeah. Jesus, that was the last instructions, that Last Supper, he's transitioning to his role now, which is priest.
That's right.
And he'll transition again into an earthly king in 1,000. That's prophesied. There's a type of shadow of that. In Genesis 14, 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, mm-hmm. that's Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. So Matthew 26, 26, and they were eating. Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave his disciples, take, eat, this is my body. And blood, he is doing that. He's fulfilling that in Genesis. He's yes. He's making that transition for us.
And I'll add this too. He said, as often as you do this,
yeah.
I don't know when or how often each church does that. Some churches do it every Sunday.
No.
But I do it a lot at home.
Me too. And I had a jug of grape juice in my fridge at all times.
All time. And I keep matzo bread in
yeah, absolutely.
In my cabinet all the time. And I had a situation a few weeks ago. And it just rose up on the inside of me. And I said, Lord, I want to put a stop to this. Mm. So
that's
I took communion.
That's how you do
took it.
Took
it by myself and just went over several things that I needed corrected in my life. And then every time that thing would come up, oh, that'll pop up in my mind, because he taught me how to do it. The Lord did. That to place the situation right in front of myself, take communion, push that away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to go back to that, I have to go past the body and blood of Jesus. No.
Because it's under the blood at that point.
Yes, sir.
Once you did it.
So now what does it mean when we plead the blood of Jesus? His blood ratified all of the covenants.
That's right.
But I don't just plead the blood. Be specific about it. Why? Every time I fly an airplane, every time, or every time I'm in the airplane that's being flown, I plead the blood of Jesus for a specific reason. Father, I plead the blood over this airplane today on this trip for protection against every evil spirit, every evil person, every wicked plan of the devil is bound and stopped and thwarted. Ministering angels, lift us up in your hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone, according to the 91st Psalm. That's in the 91st Psalm.
That's right.
And bless our partners all over the world. Every time, on every leg of every trip. So I learned to do that before we had our own overseas airplane. We'd mm-hmm. go, and I used to do it, get on an airliner. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hijacked that area where we were sitting in. There nothing happened to this airplane. And we would say, Lord, we plead the blood over this airplane, over the captain, and all of the crew.
Right.
And we will get back home and praise you for a safe trip.
Right. The blood's for redemption. That's what you're doing. You're redeeming that place on that plane.
That piece of that.
Yeah,
that's right there, yeah.
Okay, we've been talking about things being fulfilled and looking at all. Can I show you one of my favorite ones,
please,
that bothered me for a long time? It's over in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 13, and we have this verse because we know that Jesus was wounded. They pierced him, his hands, nailed his hands and his feet. In Zechariah 13, it says in verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer. Now, this is where I notice weird things, strange things, details to things. But I've always done that. My father created me that way. He loves it about me because I ask questions. Then he shall answer those which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
Yes.
And I went, wait a second. When the Romans nailed him, he was not anywhere around friends. Those were not his friends. And they wasn't in their house. And it troubled me and troubled me and troubled me, and I found the answer. You want to see it? John chapter 20. And I believe this will bless you, especially on a Friday, on a faith day. John chapter 20.
Oh, yes, I know where you're going.
Verse 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within. They're in a house. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. That's how I know where they're in a house. He's in a house of his friends, Brother Copeland.
That's right.
And stood in
he
the midst.
He said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends.
Friends. That's right.
That's a covenant word.
That's just like Abraham was his friend.
Yes.
And Moses saw his face. And David was a man after my own heart. They all had different things. Man after my own heart was mean David was a man after the Spirit. Okay, look at this. And the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. There's Zechariah being fulfilled right here.
That is.
In the house of my friends.
That's it.
The things in his hands. But how is he wounded? I got to think, okay, I get it, Lord, but how are you wounded? He was wounded by the unbelief. Mm-hmm. The pain here, the marks here didn't hurt him anymore. But it was the unbelief of him that was the wound.
That's what hurt him in Nazareth.
That's exactly
it. There he could do no mighty works. Sadie laid a hand on a few people with minor ailments and healed. Unbelief. Because of their unbelief.
Showing up at his friend's house, showing his hands, is fulfillment of Zechariah. God is that detailed that he's not going to leave one verse out there.
Now, you're in what, chapter 30?
I'm in John 20, but in Zechariah.
Oh, in Zechariah.
I was in 12.
Okay, go to 30.
All right.
I think this is what I'm looking for.
Zechariah. Chapter 12. 14. It goes 14. That was in Zechariah 13. Zechariah 12, he'll say, look upon me whom they pierced.
Well, what you want to say, he'll return health to you and heal you of your wounds.
Jeremiah.
That's Jeremiah instead of Zechariah. That's right. Jeremiah. Oh, we've stood on that one. Heal you of your wounds. General West was at John Osteen's. And he ejected twice out of a jet. And, well, there's a rocket under the seat of that thing that blows you out of that airplane. So even if you're down here like this and very close to the ground, it'll just shoot you out of there high enough to open a chute and drop you down. And it'll compress your spine. So we were at John Osteen's in healing school. He came up and Gloria laid hands on him. She went to that scripture, laid hands on him. He grew something like 2 inches back to his regular height and never had any pain again. And he sent me a picture. There was an aviation artist by the name of Bob Carlin, and he would go back and look at the debriefings and the weather at that particular time and then do a painting of it. And there's General West in an F-86, North American F-86. And he just pulled away, and this MiG was coming apart and going down like this. So he wrote this, said, Kenneth Copeland, a great pilot, wish you were here. Oh! Glory to God. But see, the book works.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, he says he'd keep you under the shadow.
Yes.
In David's tabernacle, man after God's own heart, he brought the ark. He brought the ark and he messed it up. He put it on a cart, an ox cart, because he didn't know what to do. And an ox cart is boards and big wheels. And too many churches are messed up by boards and big wheels.
You shouldn't have said that when I had that board. Lemonade, Mom.
You're not led by a board and a big wheel. All right?
That's really good.
And so
thank you, Greg.
You're welcome. Well,
that's going to go over big.
Send the letters to me. He stopped, and they began to make sacrifice. Every 6 paces, they'd make a sacrifice. 6 paces, they make a sacrifice. Levi's carrying this thing now on the preacher's shoulders. Brother Copeland, there's a blood trail all the way back to that failure. There was a blood trail in Jerusalem all the way to that failure, and he began to dance. Now, listen, you could walk in, male, female, didn't matter what race you were or what color you are, you could walk into the presence because that's the tabernacle of David. And it says, I'll restore in the last days the tabernacle of David that's been torn down. That's our day. Praise and worship.
Glory to
so
God.
So here's the deal. The Ark of the Covenant is in there, and the Shekinah, the light, we've been talking about light, Christmas lights everywhere, the light would cast a shadow. I'm trying to see if I can get a shadow in here, but there's a shadow right there on the floor. I can't touch, David learned, I can't touch the presence. But the light would shine on that Ark of the Covenant and those wings, and it would cast a shadow. He could sit in the shadow. They had scribes that would write songs. Brother Copeland, you'd walk in there and begin to write. You'd begin to sing songs, and the scribes would write it down, Asaph being one of them. They'd just start writing down what was sung. That's why you have the book of Psalms. And so you could sit in the shadow. You could kneel in the shadow. You could prostrate yourself in
the
shadow.
That's the 91st Psalm.
That's the 91st Psalm. Now, though, we don't have to walk in the shadow. No, because of the blood.
Yes.
The blood all the way back to that mistake. See, now we can dance and praise like David did.
Yes, sir.
Because that blood has atoned for me.
That's right.
Because this child came into the earth.
Yes, sir.
Grew up, became a man, and shed his own blood in my place.
Praise God.
That's why we celebrate Christmas.
Yes, it is. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
If you're on a church board, I apologize.
Anyway, that's the reason the book of Hebrews is so powerful. And just, I mean, just in the last few days, I found some more and went back and marked it in red until I've almost marked up the whole book. But I'll continue to do that. And I wrote little red squares around, blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. That's where the blessing comes from. We're blessed.
Yes.
One place, blessing is translated empowered to prosper. Mm-hmm. Another place is translated happy. Yes. Praise God.
Yes.
The blessing of God. Yes. The blessing of Abraham. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Mm. Praise God.
And now you're the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
the Spirit of God dwells in you. Some people say, I don't even feel like my prayers are getting above the ceiling. They don't have to.
No.
If you're filled with the Spirit, they're right here.
That's right.
Just put your head down and begin to pray. And then lift your head up. Like, because this is what he does, that priestly blessing, he lifts you up. They were always commanded to put their head down because he lifts you up so that you're looking at his face.
I'll refer again to the experience I had just a short time ago in Bogota, Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second time that I was privileged to preach in the fire church. The first time, there were 23,000 present. And this time, there were only 16. And the only way the praise and the worship, and it rose up in me, this is not praise and worship, this is a celebration. It was. They have an orchestra, and it started off with How Great Thou Art on a cello. Mm. And here it came. Oh, and the people began to praise and they began to worship. And the glory fell. Well, that's scriptural. We enter into his presence when we pray.
Yes.
He enters into ours when we praise.
Yes.
Because he inhabits the praise of his people. And as they began to sing and worship, the miracles began to fall. And this man went for 15 years and no one came to his church. But finally, the Lord said, you give me the first half of the day and I'll build the church. So he got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and prayed till noon. And the glory fell.
Yes.
And so now they are scheduled in Cuba, Venezuela, Peru. The Friday before, they had had 45,000 people in Bolivia in a stadium doing the same thing. Whoa, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hallelujah. Yes, he inhabits the praises of his people.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. The Lord instructed Brother Copeland to give you, our partners and friends, the opportunity to sow into the Word of God you've heard and received on the broadcast this week. We see that biblical principle in Galatians 6:6-9, where it says, let him who receives instructions in the word share all good things with his teacher, contributing in support. For whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. Sowing to the flesh reaps destruction, but sowing to the Spirit reaps eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Partners, thank you for your faithful giving and prayers. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love and appreciate you and pray for you every day. Wherever you are in the world, fulfilling God's calling in your life, prayers are being made for you, covering you with the Word of God. When we partner together, we're able to send the good news of the gospel around the world. And as Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have said, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. Let me pray over your offering today. Father, Jesus is the Lord of our harvest, and He accounts for every good thing that any person does, so that He may do it unto them according to His supply of the riches in glory. We lift up our voices with thanksgiving for our daily bread, and according to the riches of your grace, we receive all sufficiency in all things that we may abound to every good work. Thank you for your abundance, whereby we lack no good thing, and we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God forevermore.
Now, what does the non-compromised word of faith mean? When the book says I'm healed, I'm healed.
Yes.
Whether I feel like it or not. When the book says I'm prosperous, where I have anything or not. And that's the reason we walk by faith and not by sight, because this book is a manifestation of God Himself.
Amen.
And can be trusted.
Yes.
Amen. I learned that many, many years ago. Daniel and his group would not compromise.
No.
They said, well, King, put us in the furnace. What do we care? And Oral Roberts said, if you bow, you burn. That's where I learned it. And we'll be back next week. This has been a good week.
Yeah.
It has been a good week.
Yes,
yes, we're going to have more fun than this next week. Yeah, I've had some things come up in my heart while we're talking about these things. But until this, this is Kenneth Copeland and Gregory Professor Stevens.
Yeah.
That's right. Uh-huh. He's got quite a story. And all of the class,
yes,
reminding you again that God loves you because He is love.
Yes.
God is love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He is a good God.
Good God.
He is completely, totally, absolutely good.
Yes.
And we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.